Hi, this is Amy Rasdell from Bilbo at the Beach, and you're listening to EA Interviews.
EA Interviews, episode 244.
Inspiration, transformation, success stories, and the imperfect action round. 7 days a week. Join Mario Ficini for today's Expert Authority Effect interview.
Maybe you make six figures. Maybe even make seven. Maybe you're high up at a company. But how much time do you have? That's the question. That's why I'm excited to have Amy Rasdell on the show today, because she is going to be sharing with us how you can start your own consulting company. She did this 15 years ago and now makes more than executives. And her company is called Billable at the Beach. So if you'd like more time with the same, if not more money, I'm going to have Amy up right after we thank our sponsor. Every business needs a book, including yours. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com. Here she is, ladies and gentlemen, Amy Rasdell. Amy, how are you feeling today?
I'm good, Mario. Thanks for having me today.
I'm so excited to have you on because time is so important, and I think a lot of people have forgotten that. What's your experience?
I think people do. So I have a favorite quote that I love. I grew up in Silicon Valley. I'm a Silicon kid, and it's from Amy Grove. And he makes a big point out of saying that time is our only truly finite resource. You can get more money, you can get more buildings, you can get more people, more other resources. Time, as hard as I try, is something that I've never been able to figure out how to make more of. How about you?
I'm in the same boat. I mean, you can email yourself twice and, you know, act like it saved you time or something, but when you break it down, you only get 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week, 96 opportunities a day with 15-minute increments to do something great about it. But you're absolutely right. You can make more money, but you're limited on the time.
That's right. And you can only skip sleeping for so long before it catches up with you. I've tried that one too.
Yep, I've definitely been there. So I want to ask you, why would you say it's so important for people to consider the consulting instead of just driving themselves in the ground?
Well, consulting gives you so much freedom and flexibility. And I think some things about consulting, I think that's something people probably understand. Now, I'm not talking about, when I'm saying consulting, working one for one of the consulting firms, but rather having your own consulting agency or just your own solo practice. I think people are aware of the lifestyle bonuses of freedom and flexibility. I don't think anyone always thinks about or talks about what a great career it is in terms of career path and career satisfaction, and the fact that you can make more money as a consultant than you can as a corporate employee. Not sure everyone thinks about those two things.
You're saying you can make more as a consultant than a corporate worker?
That's right. And a lot of people don't understand that. So, very much in line with the things that you're always talking about. As a consultant, a lot of people immediately gravitate towards just filling up their hours. There's this big kind of fashionable thing right now to do fractional CEO, fractional CMO, things like that. This fractional, well, to me, that sounds part-time job. I don't want you to have a part-time job. I want you to be a superhero with superpowers, making super pay. And being a superhero, it's super fun. And that super pay part, you really can do that. So it's not about just, people have an instinctive sense that when they start consulting, they make sure they fill all those hours. And it's not the right mindset to approach it. You really have to have a superpower, being a superhero, and pick those engagements carefully.
Can you put some numbers to that? Because that sounds good to me, but when you're saying make more, working less, I mean, that alone is something to wrap your head around, but how much more exactly are you referring to? Like, what would you say is typical for a corporate pay versus consultant pay?
So I think I've never thought about it in quite that way, but I can think quickly and the math seems enough. So I've seen a lot of people be able to match their corporate pay working half the number of hours. So
that's like the doubling.
Interested in working the same amount of hours. So I think double is a pretty fair number. Now, I'm not going to say that everybody can do that. And there are people, the sky's sort of the limit depending what you do and how advanced you're willing to get in terms of some of your approaches and kind of how you like to work and who your best target client is. It can be more than that.
What if someone's afraid to go do it though? They've been in the job 10 years, 15, 20, 30 more. I mean, you're asking them to completely switch and turn stuff around. Why should someone still consider it, even if they're afraid?
So fear crops up all over the place when you start consulting. And I think that's probably true when you start your own business in general. When I work with people in my programs, many of the things that happen over and over, the mistakes that people make, boil back to fear. So there's a few different variations of that. But I think one of the biggest ones, and I think maybe your question is around, okay, why should I leave my corporate job? Why is consulting better or safer or whatever than my corporate job? Well, here's the thing. You and I both know, as much as we try to think about it too much, that we can walk into our corporate job any day and that jobs that get eliminated, they could be ours. So we can walk in any day and our job can be eliminated. And oftentimes it's not when we're expecting it. So I'm going to tell just a little story. I was consulting and working on a project with a company and I did most of my work remotely, which is usually the way that I operate. But I had one team meeting a week. So I was in the team meeting on Wednesday and there was a woman there. I also every month speak at an outplacement services firm. So I speak the second Monday of every month to a group of people who have recently liberated. And she walks in. I had just seen her at the company on Wednesday. She walks into my transition session on Monday. And I try not to have a funny expression on my face in those types of situations, but she must have seen the surprise on my face. And she said, I walked in on Friday and my job was eliminated. There were no other jobs eliminated. I had no idea they were even thinking about it, but all of a sudden my job is gone. So that can happen every time. When you have your own consulting business, you have control. If your pipeline is not looking good, assuming you're willing to fatality, you know it's not a surprise. So you have a lot more control than you, but that's not always intuitive.
So as far as your transition process, it sounds like even if someone's having an issue with that, you can help them with it?
Now, I don't consider myself a mindset specialist on how to convince you that it's time to quit your corporate job. I can for sure tell you about the pros. I'm really more interested in helping you when you're pretty close to the decision. If that makes sense.
Okay.
I think it's almost more of a life type person that can help you with kind of your total life picture on deciding that. And then I can tell you the specifics of what that's going to translate into in consulting.
Let's talk about how you set this up, because consulting, I do it. I love it because for me, it's that if you say you have a problem, it's like done deal. It's fixed, you know, and that's what people are looking for, the end result. But I know so many people that do it such different ways. I mean, you can jump on the phone, you can jump on the Zoom, you can jump on the whatever, you can jump on in person. There's so many different ways. And I'd say business models, I guess, is what I'm getting at. And I want to break down a few things. One of them is, how would you say someone should structure the consulting? Let's start there. And the second one, let's start there. How would you say is the best way to do it?
Tell me a little more what you mean by structure, because I'm not an attorney.
So if someone transitions over to the consulting, okay, don't disagree, they should do it. It's absolutely great. You're going to give them a huge impact, but you could say, I have a dozen clients that I talk to three on Wednesday. No, wait, that's not the right math. I talk to six on Wednesday and six on Thursday, you know, and we talk once a week. So that's one model. And then there's other people who might say, well, we talk once a month and some talk biweekly. What would you say is the best structure after you've transitioned? We're pro consulting, but what would you say is a good model for not taking up so much of your time, but still having that high touch where you can get an impact quickly? Because if you only talk once every 3 months, it's going to be hard to get some momentum, I would think.
So I can give the most help, value to people who have been corporate folks and who want to continue to have corporate clients. One big reason for corporate clients is, and it doesn't necessarily have to be multi-billion dollars, but they have big enough to be able to pay you well. So it can be smaller corporate, bigger corporate, but not consulting for small business, just because they can't pay you as much. So still working for corporate clients. And then what I would tell you right when you transition, I would tell you, don't even worry about structure. The first thing that we're going to do is get you generating revenue. We are going to get you to land a project and put a check in. And all of the structure and how many days a week, we're going to figure all that out after we start generating revenue.
Perfect.
So revenue first. I'm an extremely practical person, and I assume that you're working fundamentally because you have bills to pay. And then there's all the super fun stuff, because you and I are lucky that we get to both do something that we love, but fundamentally it's still the money. I mean, if I didn't have to work for the money, I would be so busy. I have a million pretty nonprofit type things that I would like to be busy with. So revenue first, and then all those decisions are so important, but after you're generating revenue.
Excellent. Excellent. And I appreciate the honesty there, because that's exactly what I was getting at, is there's so many different ways to do consulting. There's no right or wrong way, I would say. It's just what works best for you. And what you're saying and what I'm hearing is, if you had some corporate clients previously, or you were doing it through the company, you can still now serve these people, but in the capacity of an independent consultant, correct?
Right. And then we do eventually talk about structure, and you really hit it, Mario, exactly what I suggest people do. I suggest now that from the customer's point of view, we always want to keep it completely focused on the customer's needs. We don't want to talk about our lifestyle needs when we're presenting to the customer. But you as a consultant, one of the big benefits is the freedom and flexibility. So what I want you to do after you're generating revenue, after you've at least landed one project and have a check in the bank, otherwise that's what we're going to work on first, then I want you to look at, what are some of the lifestyle things that are important to you? What are the types of clients? Let's turn those lifestyle priorities for you into client benefits. And I'll give you a really quick example. So in my core consulting practice, I'm really a high-level project manager. So project management, I really like to explain it as if it's air traffic control. Something comes into me, I do a little work, I send it here. Something comes into me, I don't need to do any work, but this might impact funding or something, or a product launch, right? We're just about to ship a new vaccine. It's really important. And this is bad news, potentially. I'm going to pick up the hotline to the CEO. Something else comes, I spend 2 hours, it goes these four places. So I tell people, look, I like to work remotely. That's not how I explain it. I don't want to live in a cubicle at somebody's company site. I like to work remote. I have young kids at home. I have other things that I like to do. I don't talk about that to the customer. I say, look, if I come into your facility for 4 hours a day, the airport's only going to be open 4 hours a day. So planes are only going to fly 4 hours a day. I'm remote. I never say home. I always say remote because it sounds more professional. I'm typically on email and available for quick contacts from 7 a.m. till 11 p.m, 7 days a week. So the airport will be open very much like the San Diego airport, which I used to live under. Thank goodness I don't anymore. From 7 a.m. till 11 p.m, the planes will be flying. So I really turn it into an advantage for them, even though it's also an important lifestyle thing for me.
I'm glad you touched on that because like we were talking about early on, you can only get you can't get your time back, but you can always get more money. And if you're wasting all your time just doing things, I mean, you could say I make $1 million an hour, but if you're spending 23 hours of that day doing rambunctious stuff that makes no never mind, I mean, it still wouldn't be a horrible day. I mean, just saying, but that would get tiring after a while. But I guess after about 20, 30 days of that, you could get your own plane and not have to deal with it. But the point is, you can't get the time back. You can't get the time back, and it doesn't really matter how much you make an hour. You should be creating the lifestyle you want to facilitate both, because the reality is you can help a lot of people no matter where you're at.
That's right. You can add huge value to your client. And one of the other things that I really enjoy about consulting, I talked a little bit about career satisfaction and career path. I have way more impact on my client companies as a consultant than I did as a corporate employee, because there's a certain mystique about the outside consultant coming in. You're typically sponsored by one or more of the executive team. They're paying you a lot of money, so they're going to listen to you. I remember telling my dad years ago when I first started doing this, I said, Dad, I have to be careful what I tell them because now they do what I say. But it's great, right? It's so satisfying to really see your impact.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I will have to say that. And I do want to touch on this real quick. I did say I had two questions, and I'm going to ask it to honor that for Expert Authority World. But I realize where you're coming from, and we don't need to go in super detail, but the difference between coaching and consulting, because a lot of people talk about I'm a coach and consultant. It's kind of like sales and marketing. It's like they're so intertwined, but they're not, or advertising and marketing. Or advertising and sales, and just, you know, I hear all the time coaching and consulting. And again, I've done both, but what's your take on the coach versus the consultant?
So for me, I don't know why, Mario, but I always have a little bit of heartburn when I or someone else refer to me as a coach. And I don't really know why. I still think it's a little bit of a weird thing in business. And to not have it be in sports. That said, I believe that a consultant works on bigger projects with very concrete results. The outcomes are clear and specific. Often working, now here I'm going to say a coach doesn't work with a team because, of course, in sports, that's exactly what they do. But coaching in the business sense is more typically individuals or groups that are working on something. But the success of the coaching as opposed to a consulting gig is less dependent on a specific, on a product launch or something like that. What do you think, Mario? Does that make sense to you?
It does. And it's interesting because people have asked me this before and I'm like, that's a good question. Because at the end of the day, me personally, I want to get you to the end result. So whether I'm coaching you through it versus you're paying me a lot of money to tell you the steps, I don't really care. I want to get you to the end result. Here's my take on it, though. When I'm coaching you, for example, like the sponsor ad earlier with my book program and my author clients, I have programs where I can coach you through publishing your book, and I only offer those a few times a year with a limited number of people, and we go through it together. It's been very effective. Okay? It's a lot of fun too. I can take you through and get your business book published. But I'm saying, okay, step one, everyone, we need a title. We need a subtitle. You know, who's your avatar? Who's your ideal reader? Okay? I'm telling you all the answers. You basically have a cheat sheet. I'll tell you every last thing. It's on you. Now, the consulting I've done primarily with my concierge program, where I'm only working with you one-on-one, and it's very high touch, okay? And maybe you're responsible for some of it, which you are, but maybe most of it's on me saying, okay, my team and I will take care of the cover, we'll take care of this, but we do need to brainstorm a few things back and forth here. So to me, it's more about the responsibility, you know, because you could say you're coaching, you're coaching the staff of the company. You know, maybe you're the consultant for the marketing team and you're guiding them and they're executing it. But it's not a training where you're teaching them how to do it.
Yeah.
Either way, you're guiding
them,
though.
It's an interesting idea. That's right. And I do, with my corporate clients, I always call it consulting. However, I believe my job as a consultant in the corporate world, contrary to some consulting firms, is I believe it's my job to get in there and do the project and get out. I'm not supposed to make myself indispensable. So I almost always work with a team, not my team that I bring in, but I work with an internal team that I put together and run for, you know, typically 9 to 18 months. But my goal is to leave that team able to operate completely without me. You know, they'll have a new leader. Now they might touch base with me from time to time, but my job is to get out and move on to the next project. That's what consulting is.
I see it as like time compounding. You're saving them 3 to 5 years of figuring it out on their own. You're going, hey, let's take, like you're saying, 9 to 18 months. I'm going to give you all the answers. Let's just put this in place. We'll have weekly milestones. And by the time we're done, you're going to be up and running. And I just saved you 5 years or 10 in some cases.
Can I use that's a, such a succinct way to put that. Can I use that?
Oh, for sure. It's one reason I love that my team, which I'm very thankful for, transcribes this, makes the show notes. Because someone asked me on the one of the last episodes, they're like, "That's awesome. Can you say that again?" I'm like, "I have no clue what I just said, but it's being recorded. It's live, and we'll see it in the show notes. So we're good.
We have it.
Yeah."
Well, it's funny because one of the things that I do in my program, one of the exercises that I have people go through is what we just did accidentally. So when they're working on what I call their value proposition or their elevator pitch, what it is they're going to be selling, everyone can always do so much that you have to boil it down for your pitch. And so I tell them to put something together and then reach out to 3 to 5 people because other people will give them that succinct high sizzle bullet point that they could never come up with on their own. And that's exactly what you just did for me.
In the same time frame too. And you're very welcome because I think they could figure it out, but there's no way you're going to do it in the same time frame. You give anyone a computer 6 or 12 months, they'll figure anything out. But if you have a deadline next week, it's not a good solution. It goes back to that time.
No,
you know,
so
time is money. It's like, oh, I'll do it on my own. It's okay, cool. Is. Well, if you want to give away 17 months of your time versus focus for 30 days, enjoy.
Well, and so you just set me up for something else that I say a lot when I talk to people about consulting. And I mean, I just figured out how to do it on my own. And I always tell people that when I talk about the mistakes that people make, I know about them. How? Because I've made every single one, right? I've made every mistake as I've been building my business over the last 15 years. So people will say, well, you know, why should I join one of your programs? Can't I just do it on my own? And I say, absolutely, you can do it on your own.
Here's all the answers.
It's taken me 15 years. How long do you want to wait, right? So it's an interesting thing, isn't it? And I guess that's kind of your whole point about expert authority is time when it boils down to
it. It's another reason I always focus on the results and the revenue and profit too, because if you say, okay, it'll take me a year on my own, and you might think, hey, I've got a year on my own. When you say you're going to lose $172,000, oh, well, I didn't think about it like that. No, you didn't. You were just thinking of the time component. But if you're making some serious money, what's that time worth? You know, there's a difference from making 20 an hour to 200 to 2000 versus 20,000.
Well, so like almost everybody, I've been working from, I say remotely, but home for many years. But even still, the pandemic, like most of everyone who's watching this, made me get new IKEA furniture for my office. So first you have to wait for it to be in stock, but I didn't put that stuff together by myself or even have my husband do it. We hired a guy who all he does is put together IKEA furniture because I can be doing my consulting work. Mm-hmm. The guy who puts together the IKEA furniture, two things. He's cheaper by hour than what I could make, and he can do it three times faster.
Yeah, the aggravation of it is just, you have to be in a real learning mode, and there's so much opportunity out there now. It's just like, you know what? You can't get the time back. So, and I've always loved it ever since I started my company, because it's like there's people who absolutely don't want to be doing this. They hate camera. They hate being in front of the camera. They don't want to be on stage. I personally love it. I love what I do. And I love speaking, you know, on stage in person and all of it. It's like and it's the only thing I can do. You know what I mean? Anyone can anyone can do my emails. Yeah. But only we can be on. Can you imagine that? I was thinking about that the other day, because it's like, imagine if you were like, yeah, I want to get into shape and go to the gym and everything, so I'm going to hire someone to do that for me. You can hire a fitness trainer and coach, awesome. But if you were just like in the salon, can you imagine if you're like, I'm going to hire someone to get a haircut for me? Like, okay, there's a point where
that's not so bad, but if there's anyone out there who can come up with a thing where you work out and get me in shape, I'm in.
Yeah, there's certain things that only we can do, and it's interesting because I don't think you can outsource everything, and you should know what, like you're saying, your superpowers are. What are you the very best at that only you can do? But conversely, what's all the other stuff that you shouldn't even be touching? I remember the first time I posted on Facebook like a decade ago. I'm like, I just got fired today from the graphic design team. And 9 out of 10 people were like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. And the entrepreneur friends were like, nice. I remember that. They knew exactly what I was doing. I fired myself from my own company from that team. And I'm like, I don't need to be touching this.
Yes.
I enjoy it. I'm decent at it. I don't need to be touching it.
I'm a software engineer by background, and I don't allow myself to touch my own websites because it's a rabbit hole that I go down, and I get so obsessed with it that until I have everything working right, I won't go to sleep. And so it doesn't work for anybody for me. So I don't even touch it. There's a good saying, and I should know who said it or wrote it, but it is only do what only you can do. I think that's kind of the crux of what we're talking about.
Yeah. And at the same point, when you are done with it, you look up and go, oh, it's a new month? When did this happen?
Exactly.
Because we know it's well more than just a few hours or a few days. I designed a software to build WordPress websites automatically, and I totally get what it's like. Not the code. Again, I fired myself from that about 11 or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But even just playing around with it, trying to just think and brainstorm and test and tweak, I'm like, no, absolutely not. So totally, yeah. get you. That's cool. That's cool. So tell me about what you were doing before. How did you decide, I want to be on my own, I don't want to be corporate anymore? Tell me about that.
So it's kind of interesting. I really didn't set out to be a solo entrepreneur, have my own thing. I mentioned that I'm a Silicon kid. Dad was an early Silicon Valley guy. So I grew up surrounded by technology startups. So all the dinner tables that I sat around growing up of friends, my own, everything was technology startups. So it's almost as if we didn't even really realize anything else existed. I did eventually get out in the world and find out there were companies that did other things. But I started out working corporate, and my original career goal was to be a startup technology CEO. I have since decided that being a CEO is overrated and underpaid, and I love consulting. But as I look back on my early years, I was always that I always loved to perform. In my other life, I'm a dancer. I went to undergrad on a music scholarship. So I was that little kid who was organizing backyard shows and charging admission. And then at intermission, I would run out and sell popcorn and Kool-Aid and stuff like that. Also, I just always did stuff like that. I loved selling Girl Scout cookies. In college, I rented a little piece of a gas station, really busy gas station corner at a beach in San Diego. I sold backpacks and duffel bags and beachy kind of stuff. I would make a ton of money because there was so much tourist traffic going by there in the summer that I could work the summer and not have to work the whole rest of the school year when I was in college. So I was always doing stuff like that. And I never really thought that much about the fact that I just always did stuff like that. I started babysitting when I was 10. I started cleaning. I could make more money cleaning houses than babysitting. I started doing that when I was 14. So I just kind of always did it. But for me, I've also realized now that I'm a lot older that I don't like other people telling me what to do. I like to decide it for myself.
I can relate to that 100%. 150%, because yeah. I started my first business when I was 12 and sold that to start this one when I was in college. It's been a few years since then.
Good for you.
But I completely understand that. So it wasn't that you were against the corporate, you just thought that's what everyone did, but truly at your core, you're an entrepreneur. Yeah.
I think I'm wired to be an entrepreneur. And I talked about how when I work with my people, fear is the thing that blocks and limit them the most. And I'm a fearless person. I don't mean climbing Mount Everest, because to me, I'm also very practical. It just, like, there's not enough oxygen up there. Why would you go there? So of course, I understand why some people do that.
Well, you could do a halo dive. They put oxygen on you when you jump out of the plane.
Yeah. So that, you know what, that I've actually promised my husband that I won't jump out of any planes because it scares him, but I would totally jump out of a plane. And those little wingsuit things that they wear where it's kind of like you're flying.
Those are awesome.
I would do that in a heartbeat. But
I have a question for you. I think you could do this. Keep your husband happy and achieve your goal.
Okay, I'm in. What is it?
Do you really want to jump out of a plane?
Oh, it's not a burning passion, actually.
Okay. No one ever said the plane can't be on the ground.
No, it's true. Are you talking about the indoor skydiving places?
No, I just mean if the plane was on the ground, you could still jump out of it. But there's a big difference at 30,000 feet versus 18.
That's a good one. Actually, that would be fun. My husband is in the music industry. He's not the talent. He works all around the back sides of it. So he has a client that's also a high-end pilot. He teaches pilots how to respond to emergencies. Like, he trains Delta Airlines people and stuff. So he's super into flying. And so we could go over to his airplanes and I could do that.
You could even preface it like, you know, why are we like, surprise, honey, I got something for you. And like, yeah, we're going to jump out of the plane. And because most people's brain naturally goes to, oh my gosh, are you serious? And then you know, you could hop out real quick and be like, say that.
That's good. I love that. That would be a good one.
But I love the attitude because it's like you want to do it. You're not, and I get what you mean. It's like there's stuff you're just not even risk averse. You're just not afraid of. It's like, yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you do it? Like you want to sit in a cubicle for 10 hours a day and be in traffic? Like I can't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah. And so I do try to get at, you know, they're afraid of not making enough money. They're afraid of people thinking they're a loser because they jumped off the corporate track. And so that's why I try to explain, but I'm not always good.
That but you make more money, you have your life back and there's more time freedom.
Yeah. You work with better clients. You can say no to people. Nobody owns your career path anymore. You know, I talk to so many guys who they're completely CEO material. It's not their fault. Every time when they're just about to get that big promotion, the company gets acquired or a global pandemic hits or the stock market crashes. Something happens that they have no control of. A new CEO comes in, and we all know that often the CEO brings their own team. So it's not, he doesn't even know you. It's not about you. So there's so many things out of your control. So some of the people that eventually end up working with me to do consulting, man, they've been trying to scrabble up that ladder for 20 years, getting knocked off. And it has nothing to do with them. You know, you get to control all that stuff. It's the best feeling and the best money and the best career path. And you have so much impact on your clients. It's great. You know, you do a similar thing, right?
Win, win, win. I mean, that's what you go for. Some people say win, win. You know, I want to be happy. I want my client happy. But it's like, I want my client happy and their client happy. And of course, me too. I don't want to be a rug in the process. But it's like, you got to think, you know, if you're serving them, they're serving someone else. That's why they're hiring you. It's like, what are you doing for their client?
That's right. Oh, that's another good one, Mario. Win, win, win instead of two. Because you're right.
It doesn't end between you and me. It's, you know, one step further than that.
No.
That's how I see it.
Absolutely. I love that. I love that. I never thought of it quite that way before. I love it.
Also in the show notes.
Yay. I'm going to be reading the show notes from my guest appearance. Thank you so much. I'm learning so
much. It's going great. I'm really enjoying this. I have one more question for you. It's in the same vein about, you know, the people you've helped. What's your biggest success and transformational story of one of your clients specifically?
So I have, sure. So I have one that I worked with. It was 2 or 3 years ago. And she was a woman who had just had her first baby. And it's hard to do the corporate juggle when you actually also add a child into the mix. There's plenty of women that do it splendidly, and I admire them, but it's hard. So this woman was a high-level social media manager working for an agency, and she was really good at what she did, but it was just hard to manage the baby and the corporate job and having some kind of a life and dropping the baby off at daycare and that whole routine, the baby gets sick and you can't go in. And so she wanted to do consulting, and we just happened to kind of meet by chance through some friends, not even related to business. And she jumped into one of my programs. She actually did it, which is not always the case, before she left her corporate job. She kind of laid the groundwork and got ready and learned about it. And then she jumped off. Within 6 months, she was making twice what she had made in her corporate job, working about 30 hours a week. She had been working about 50, 55 before. We all know that at our levels, most people don't work 40 hours. Most people work more. So she had actually doubled, not quite working half the time, but close to it. And then that didn't even count commuting and packing the baby up for daycare and all that kind of stuff. So it was really amazing when we met at the 6 month mark, and she goes, "Oh my gosh, I'm on a track to consistently make twice the money in less time." And that's the one that my mind always comes back to that I love.
I appreciate you for sharing that, because first and foremost, I think the time she's getting with her baby is most important. The time she's getting back for her and her life. The fact that she was financially, the fact that she doubled it, and I'd even argue it was more than that, because like you said, if she was at 55 hours and you cut it to 30, that's not even a direct, you know, the financial amount was double, but you also have to account for the 25 to 35% less time, which again is another added bonus for more consulting time or free time. I mean, if you make the same amount and cut your time in half, that's essentially doubling your profits already, let alone, I think it sounds more like a 3-4 time multiplier. That's fantastic. But first and foremost, the time with their baby and family and everything, that's great. Thank you.
When I talk numbers, I always like to not overstate and overpromise, because there are programs out there that talk about, No, that's true. But there are so many programs and people out there that are searching for that make $1 million your first year. And it happens. It's just very rare, with a heavy dose of luck, I think.
And that's good. I would always say err on the side of caution. I'm very much the same way. It's taken me a while to just like get more aggressive with it, but I'm glad I did, because for some, again, it goes back to the serving piece. If someone's deciding to do business with you, and clearly you can help them, but maybe they're thinking in that track when you're saying, you know, you can make more money, or you'll make a lot more money, or you'll increase your money. Okay, cool. But when you say you can go from 186,000 to 276,000, which is roughly a 33% increase in 6 months, and I've done it 37 times or 137 times or 3,000 times, you're dealing with empirical evidence. And again, don't overstate it, but when you have that to prove, and you don't even need to say it, you just say, here's the last 10 case studies, and then they say it. I doubled my revenue in 6 months and cut my time in half. I mean, the average corporate CEO is couple 200,000, 400, 600. You know, you can take statistical evidence and just go across the board. This job caliber, this is what they make. I mean, same thing with the U.S. population. It's like you can say, well, X amount of people make above this threshold and below that, and about 15 different levels in between. So you can still not be over the top with it, but still give, you know, concrete, like, wow, this is, she's not joking around here. This is serious.
Yeah, it's true. And I agree with you too, that the ideal circumstance is when you present the evidence and your prospect makes the conclusion that you wanted to make. It's much more powerful that way.
I've been teaching video testimonials for over a decade, and there's nothing better than just being like,
that's great.
Just play the thing. There's times I get hit with my own ads. I'm like, oh my gosh, wait a second. Oh yeah. I have my team load up some of the stuff, so, and I'm just like, oh yeah, we were talking about that a month ago, and then I forgot about it. Because again, this is where I focus, right here, right now. And some of the other things, it's just like, wow, this is great. Wait a second. Oh, that's fun.
That's great.
It's like throwing money in the wash for no reason, just to find it later. So in the same vein of some fun, we have the Wheel of Whatever round now. Guess what this is?
Oh, yay.
It's the Wheel of Whatever. So I don't even know what how it's going to end up. See what your question is. It's magical. Who is a killer CEO that you would love to know more?
Oh, my longtime favorite. He is gone now, but I've been an Andy Grove groupie for many years. I've read all of his books. I kind of grew up in that Silicon Valley world. His personal story is so interesting. He was a refugee, walked out of Hungary with nothing, revolutionized the world as we know it. And he's, I'm not a great writer, but I appreciate a great writer. And to me, a great writer is someone who is writing things that you can't resist reading, you can't put down. And he writes about business topics and things like that in a way that's like that. So he's a great writer, and he's the CEO that I've always most admired.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
And for those of you who, if some of your listeners are younger than I am, he was the CEO and founder of Intel. And of course, you have Intel all through your house, whether you realize it or not. Chips.
Oh, I'm very familiar with it because when I was launching the show, I designed and built a new computer and decided, you know what? Two cores is better than one, four is better than two, but 14 is better than four. So very thankful to them over the years. I've always used Intel ever since, and I don't want to date myself, but I've designed and built many computers over the years for the last few years, let's say. So great suggestion. We're going to thank our sponsor, and we're going to come back with the Imperfect Action Round.
You've heard me say every business needs a book, including yours. And it's true. And that's why you should visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. But you know what? Don't take my word for it. Take it from a few of my authors, like Lori.
And I went from having an idea and a possibility to actually getting my book published.
Or Catherine.
Thank you for making my mom number one best-selling author.
Or Mary Alice.
What he got done for me in 3 days regarding my book launch, unmanageable.
John Cody.
I've worked with Mario over the phone and online, and he's been very helpful in getting me where I needed to go with promoting my books.
Rocio.
There's no way in the world I would have been able to do this with somebody else. I've attempted it in the past. It didn't serve me. As a matter of fact, I ended up more frustrated than anything. So this has been a very seamless process.
Adele.
If you're looking for an amazing business coach, I highly recommend Mario Ficini.
Or Bill Benner.
I can't make a higher recommendation than to work with Mario Ficini. He has been great for me, and right now I won't work with anybody else except for Mario.
Hey, their words, not mine. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now, and I look forward to hearing your transformation as the next video success story. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
And we are back with the Imperfect Action Round. Are you ready to take imperfect action, Amy?
Absolutely.
All right. So I have 3 questions for you, 60 second or less answers. And the first one is, what is the fastest path to the cash?
Fastest path to the cash. For me, I have a tried and true process called 3 action steps to generate revenue now. So I have an exact formula that is the fastest path to cash in my area of expertise.
Excellent. Number 2, what is the biggest problem you see your prospects making and the fastest way for them to fix it?
Not charging enough. And we've talked a little bit earlier about fear. The block on not charging enough for your consulting services really is fear. Once you get past that and realize and really learn to be a superhero with superpower making super pay, you can get past that and the market will pay for your services.
Love that. That's for sure. Number 3, what is the best way to maximize customer lifetime value?
Maximize customer lifetime value. I say, I'll go back to kind of one of my main business axioms that I live by, and that is never compromise your ethics, integrity, or the quality of your work. And I think that's the secret of maximizing lifetime customer value.
I like that a whole lot because, without that, you have nothing. What are some books you could recommend to Expert Authority World that have made a difference in your life?
So this is, I'm kind of a one-trick pony on that topic today because it's an old Andy Grove book called High Output Management. And it's kind of centered around a manufacturing environment, but it just has so many great lessons. That's the time is your only truly finite resource. That's where I learned that. It has so many great things. Can I talk about one more that's a favorite?
Of course.
Can I be a hater? So my other one is actually not a business book, technically. It's a story, and it's called On Wings of Eagles by Ken Follett. And it's the story, an older book, again, older story, and Ross Perot rescued his company hostages out of Iran. And it's the best lesson, like grand scheme lesson on teamwork that I've ever seen. And fierce results. It's a great book. It's a great story, but there are a lot of great lessons. So oddly enough, those are my two favorite business books.
Well, I appreciate that. I have not heard of both of those, and they both sound good.
They're great.
Where would you like people to learn more?
I would like people to learn more at billableatthebeach.com. And if you want to be an action taker, like we've talked about, I have a free email course at billableatthebeach.com called 3 Action Steps to Generate Revenue Now. And as I mentioned before, it's the quickest path to revenue. And when you build your consulting business, I want you to focus on revenue first and then all the other little things. So I would love for you to find me there.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate you for sharing that and making it available to Expert Authority World. I've thoroughly enjoyed this. And I thank you for your time.
Great. Me too. Thank you so much for having me today, Mario.
All right, Expert Authority World. We have another great episode here today. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day. And God bless.
You're already the expert, but have you transformed your expertise into a tangible asset that will generate and qualify leads while increasing profit for you 24/7? And if so, how well are you promoting it? With the Expert Authority Effect publishing method, it's easier and faster than ever. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com today to learn the 7 steps to publish and promote your nonfiction lead and profit-generating business book in 8 weeks. Visit freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com to get started now. Once again, that's freebusinessbookpublishingcourse.com.
Hey, thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you got a lot out of it. I know I sure did. If you haven't done so already, I invite you to subscribe to the show. And also be sure to check out eainterviews.com for complete show notes, the full interview video experience, links to the resources we mentioned, and more. Have a blessed day, and I'll see you tomorrow.